As we start the new year, have we got all of our estate plans in place? Well, let's find out what really goes on with estate planning. Bridget Finke is with us, an attorney with Valley Crossing Law Offices in the Baldwin area. And Bridget, you know, you think about farmers, you think about the fact that they're on the go. They don't spend a lot of time on their backside. But maybe this time of the year when it's been so cold, it's not a bad idea to spend some time on your backside and get the books in place and get your estate plans in place, because it's not an easy process or a short process, I should say. It takes some time.
Yeah, one of the challenges, and you know, we talk about this a lot, you and I, is the, you know, getting people started, getting people going. And man, this time post holidays and pre-planting is just the great time where, you know, folks have more availability to all get in a room together and start the discussion. And you know, you're not going to solve if you haven't started anything. You're not going to be done and have everything in place by the time you're ready to get back in the field. But this is the great time to get all the ideas going. It's the time of year that you're probably meeting with your accountant, who probably has some thoughts and ideas for you. It's a great time, you know, to meet with your lawyer, meet with your financial advisor, meet with your banker. Get that plan in place for the year.
And for those that have never done this, never thought about doing this until now, they're like thinking, what can take so long? Kind of take us through the process of, okay, we want to put an estate plan, a succession plan in place. What are the steps? And then each one takes some time. Take us kind of through that whole situation.
Well, let me just start with, you've taken a lifetime to build this. It's probably going to take a little time to create the plan to pass it on. So often the first step is, you know, gathering some information. And it's, you know, I will ask for information from folks about, you know, I want to know the names of your family and their contact information. And then I want to know what you own. And you think that's an easy question to answer, but I will tell you that that can be a little more involved than sometimes people realize.
I own the farm.
Well, but which acres? And in what name? Are they both in both of your spouse's name? Do you have some in an LLC? The titling to those things all makes a difference. How many cattle? How much machinery? What it's worth? All those things are helpful information to have at that first meeting that can allow us to make a little more progress. So once you've gathered all that information together, then get together and talk. And, you know, meet your professional advisor, get a chance to see if you're a good fit, and start the preliminary discussions about what are your goals? What do you want to have happen? And some people come into those meetings with a really good idea of what they want to have happen. Other people are really looking for some ideas. And, you know, and that's really something that your various professionals can offer you, are ideas. You know, you might come up with an idea, you know, come in with an idea, I need an LLC, but really have no reason why you think an LLC is the answer other than, well, the neighbor has an LLC, so that must be the way to go.
But I think it's the first start is talk with the family, the people that are going to be involved in this succession plan. The heirs, do they want to keep it as a farm? Do they want to parcel it off and sell it out for a housing development? I think all those things need to be done just to get these talks off the ground before you do the values and 50% here and 40% there and everything else.
Absolutely. And those are often questions I ask too. You know, they might come in and say, well, we want to get Bobby the farm. I'm looking at you, Bobby.
I wish somebody would give me a farm.
But, you know, sometimes they haven't asked the question, does Bobby want the farm?
Right.
You know, does Bobby love managing the herd but wants nothing to do with the paperwork and dealing with the business side of the business? And so taking stock of some of those desires and goals from people, I mean, at the end of the day, they're mom and dad's assets and they can do what they want with them. But I don't think it's usually a parent's goal to, you know, try to set the kids up for failure or for misery. And so at least polling their desires, even if tempering that with knowing you may not get everything you want and ask for, can be helpful and sometimes surprising to mom and dad.
I've got to ask you, now that we've got this new tax law in place or coming online, inheritance tax has been doubled. So now we're talking 11, 22 million for a couple.
Right.
Is it, can you just sit back and say, well, I'm going to say I want the farm to be divided among so-and-so. And if it doesn't add up to $22 million, why do we need a succession plan?
Well, number one, you might go to the nursing home for a long time before you pass away. So you better have a plan about how you're going to pay for that. And if the goal is to get the farm to little Bobby, you know, selling off chunks of the farm to pay the nursing home bill probably isn't going to be a great plan there. You know, number two, if you haven't done any planning, then there's default rules that apply, which may not be your desired outcome. Because if you've only been married once and you only have children from that marriage, it's equally to the kids. And I think it's the rare exception that we have the family where all the kids are equally involved in the business. And so often there's some, you know, manipulation there. But keep in mind, too, that's not the rule if you have children from other relationships. And blended families are much more common now. And so that says husband or wife pass away, only half to spouse, and then the other half divided equally between the kids. So that can be a surprise to people. And so it's important to get real advice that's catered exactly to your situation. And in some cases, people come to me and say, I need a will, and we get done talking and we don't do a will because it's not, you know, a significant issue for them. They've got another issue that's more important than getting the will. But, you know, it's sort of like diagnosing yourself on WebMD.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But we've all done it.
Yeah.
And doesn't mean it's wise.
Exactly, that's for sure. So we do have to have that conversation to start things off. But I mentioned the tax law. Mm-hmm. Give us some highlights here before we wrap it up here of what we see now going forward as far as you mentioned the estate tax, but depreciation, some of the other things that are going to be a little different that we should be checking on with our money people.
For sure, and definitely issues to raise with your accountant. You know, very significant one, you probably heard about this, new 20% deduction for pass-through taxation. And, you know, they really focus on business entities. When you hear it in the news, it's often talking about S-corps and things that if you're just running a sole proprietorship, you might think, well, you know, there we go, helping the corporations again and, you know, not helping Farmer Bob. But in fact, it's people filing Schedule F get the advantage of that as well. Now, expect more guidance coming, so this isn't going to be the end of the story. They'll put in some regulations to try to prevent abuse, but, you know, significant benefit to farm clients regardless, so long as they're doing pass-through taxation, so not the C-corps, but S-corps, LLCs, taxes, partnerships, and good old, you know, my folks, Harold and Marcy, Schedule F sole proprietor farmers, all getting the advantage of that new discount. There's also 179 has gone up to $1 million, and we've got some bonus depreciation changes that can help folks. So I'd encourage people to talk to their accountants when they're meeting with this year and kind of getting their plan about, you know, what we might buy or what we're looking at this year, and see if you can take advantage of some of those things.
And more to come.
It never ends.
It never ends, that's for sure. But to get the end, we've got to get the start. So start that conversation right now while it's winter and you don't have anything to do out in the fields or anything like that.
Great time to sit in an office as opposed to when you want to be sitting in the cab of your tractor.
Absolutely. Good advice. Bridget, how do we get a hold of you at Valley Crossing Law?
You can give us a call at 715-688-4045 or check us out at wisconsinfarmlaw.com.
Very good. Thank you, Bridget. Bridget Finke, once again, answering some of these questions that we have to ask. Bridget, of course, with Valley Crossing Law in Baldwin.